As the world turns down at Foxborough, more drama. We had a caller the other day said it was like a soap opera down there, and it kind of is getting to be that way.
Yep.
With Gerard Mayo now, the main focus, he says, is on the guys inside the building trying to block out all the noise, something that you know is not practiced down there, never really practiced there. Even when Belichick used to go around trumpeting that, you knew that everybody paid attention to the noise. They never blocked it out. They were just good and could win games and didn't care about the noise. When you suck, the noise is louder and it means more. And Mayo's on the hot seat right now. I think there's no question about it. There's a lot of smoke now towards the idea of him maybe getting relieved at the end of this year or in season if things continue down this path. And that seemed unheard of to me, like really unheard of that they would go back on this after, as we've mentioned, and everybody mentions it every single day, the incredible commitment that the Crafts put to Gerard Mayo. And I know people say, oh, every single time a coach gets hired, the owner comes out and talks about him. Not like this. Not like this. I don't ever remember an owner coming out and talking about a new hire like this, especially one with no experience, and especially one who 5 years ago when he decided that he was going to be the guy had no coaching experience at all.
Yep.
I mean, that's really the meat and potatoes of this. And not only would it be horrible PR for the Crafts, it would be bad for the team. I think that in general, like you making that decision and sort of going there, we think that this season's rock bottom. Firing the coach after one season, or having it come to that and sort of admitting that this was a mistake on all of our parts and that we really went about this entire process the wrong way, that's something that's going to be hard to recover from, I think, unless you really, the next guy's a grand slam home run. And I think at this point, no matter what ends up happening with Gerard Mayo down the line, we can say, at the very least, it was a disastrous start to his tenure here.
Oh, and it gets worse.
It still is one right now.
I thought today it might quiet down. Today threw a little more gasoline on it. You got Kayshon Booty saying basically he only gets the ball when he calls for it. He has to ask for the two deep balls he's gotten that have been two of the better plays, and better throws. That was Tom Curran interrupting me. Tom, you stay in your own lane.
Sorry, wrong button.
My show right now. And you have K.J. Osborne basically saying he wants to be traded. He didn't say it, but he did not say it when he was given an alley-oop question from Chris Mason. I didn't expect I'd hear that. I thought maybe some of the reins would be tightened after all the idiocy that has been spewing from that locker room, from the social media. But the idiocy continues. I don't know if Gerard Mayo is not trying to squash it, is not capable of squashing it, but right now it doesn't matter. The result is the result. It seems like it's getting worse, not better. And you're right. Owners praise everybody they hire because they hopefully wouldn't hire them if they didn't think they were
worthy.
You don't
hire somebody and be like, this guy sucks, but we're giving him a chance. You know.
But do they always, or have they ever compared them to their selection of their wives?
Not that I can think of.
That's taking it next level. And I do think they've done a disservice to everybody involved with the tale about Israel. It was just a dumb narrative to put out there. Mm. And I'm assuming there's some truth to it. I'm going to say it's not just fictionalized. I'm guessing there's some truth to it.
I mean, they went to Israel, right?
Yes.
Like, they all went there. Yes. They were in the airport. And I'd imagine Gerard Mayo was talking to everybody about the trip. And that's really impressed Robert Kraft for some reason. But, I mean, listen, what are you going to say? Like, yeah, I think that all happened the way that they described it.
Why tell people that story?
That's the reason you hired your head coach?
You know when you tell that story? When you win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Then you go, I've never told this story before, but I picked Gerard Mayo as my next head coach before he had coached a single game.
Exactly.
Not when he's like in the midst of looking like a guy who's never coached a single game.
Tom Brady, that whole, I'm the best decision you ever made. That's not a story you tell unless Tom Brady goes on to be a great quarterback or the greatest player in the history of the sport. Otherwise, it's just some cocky sixth-round pick looking like a jacket. You know, like
if Rohan Davey had told that story, it's a stupid story.
No one cares. Exactly. It only matters when you have results, when you produce.
So,
and I feel like the Crafts are caught up in the story more than they are actually putting a team together. You know?
But now they're very much in the middle of the story because I think from afar we all thought it was crazy that they hired him in a sense, especially when we got this backstory of Israel and 5 years earlier and all that.
Right.
Now, I don't know what craziness is. Like, I know chaos is in the midst of that organization.
Sure.
Absolute chaos. Is it crazier to keep Gerard Mayo? Or is it crazier to say, this is a disaster, we got to rip the Band-Aid off and go in a different direction, despite the fact, as you brought up yesterday, this whole year was about one thing.
Yep.
Drake May.
Yes.
And through two starts, Drake May is so good that he got Dan Orlovsky to backtrack on his idiotic opinion that he should wait 2 years before he played. And Chase Daniel, another backup quarterback, did a 20-minute breakdown where it was Patriots porn, where he was telling you how great Drake May is. Oh, this is great. The throw, the feet, the this, the that. For 20 minutes. Go look it up on Twitter. And Drake May's great and everything else is a mess. You know, everyone sucks but me kind of mentality.
Right.
I never saw that coming. And do you want to keep Drake May in that world where he is the only good in the middle of a chaotic storm?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you risking hurting Drake May? Because Alex Van Pelt feels like Alex Van Pelt's in trouble one way or the other.
Yeah.
He could either be out because Gerard Mayo's out and somebody brings their own new coaching staff in. Or
he's out because they don't want to fire Mayo and they have to fire somebody.
Go.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
Either way, that's bad for Drake May,
yes.
Who the one thing they've done well, apparently, is develop Drake May. And Drake May, every time we talk to him, praises Alex Van Pelt. Seems to like Alex
praises
Van Pelt.
Everybody.
I mean, no, I know, but yeah. I'm a sucker. I know, but he seemed like it was very natural. Other people praise people, and I'm like, you don't even really believe that, right? Like, you know when it's real and you know when it isn't. It feels real. Now, I continue to wonder, is there any world where you can keep Alex Van Pelt as your quarterback coach, as your Drake May coach, as your whatever?
Absolutely, I think there is, because I don't think he's going to get a whole bunch of other OC offers.
And he doesn't seem like the type of guy who'll just be like, F you, I'm out of here.
Right.
Because you're right. He might, you know, there's money here, and if you quit, you don't get the money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're making decent, I gotta be
guy like him.
He's gotta
get his talons into Drake May and hold on tight.
That's what I would do.
You know,
and then when you're done, your resume is even if you're not in the football anymore. Because all we heard from some media guys is like, oh, he was right on Drake May. You know, they go back and they
right.
they have the pelts on the wall. If you develop Drake May, you're going to be a QB guru. Go run camps. I'm the guy who developed Drake May. Kids,
yeah.
Come pay me $10,000.
And that's a good thing to be. It's
right.
If you're in a position like that where you may not be getting a ton of other offers at OC. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Before we go to the phones, though, Tommy Curran was on with the Midday Show yesterday. And listen, they were broadcast partners on QuickSlants, right?
Co-hosts together.
Gerard Mayo is a co-host on that show. I believe Tommy Curran still has a pretty good relationship with Gerard Mayo. I don't know that for sure, but I would think so. Listen to what Curran
well, he
said.
Did.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not now after this. This is what Curran said about Mayo and his job security yesterday with Jones and Keefe.
Oh, I would think now.
Yeah.
Have to do it now. Not to the point where you're saying, okay, if you continue this way, we're going to have to move on from you. Because I think they all acknowledged, Mayo included, definitely Kraft, look, this is going to be a year with some bumps and fits and starts. I don't think in their wildest dreams did they play out and gameplay worst case scenario. But this is playing out as worst case scenario. Mayo needs help. There's absolutely no question that he needs better guidance on his messaging and which way to go. Because the futility of it and the exasperation, I guess, that is evident, you can't allow that to seep in.
So, not necessarily denying anything.
No.
And not saying that he's getting fired either. But, I mean, that was a very telling answer, I think, there from Tommy Curran, just about acknowledging that this isn't going well. And it's going, even though people expected there to be bumps and blow, whatever he said, along the way, and there have been, it's worse than they thought. This is worse than they were expecting.
You can't fire him right now, in my opinion. I mean, you can do whatever you want. You're
right.
Robert Kraft, you're the owner. You like Gerard Mayo, correct?
Yes.
You respect Gerard Mayo. If you fired him now, he goes down as the worst head coach in the history of football.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exaggerating. I literally believe he would be labeled the worst head coach in the history of football.
Yeah.
Because Bobby Petrino ran out on his team, but it was later than this in the year. Rich Kotite is a guy that
Coach
is generally
I was
kind
gonna
of
say Ron Rust.
Like this
Al Groh.
7 or 8 games into his first season, you
yeah.
fire him after telling the world that he was a culture builder and a people person and the best candidate and this and that. I mean, I feel like that would be doing him dirty a little bit if you truly like him and don't want to railroad him.
Who was the guy in the Jets that only lasted the 1 year? He was with the Dolphins. What was his name? It was just
Adam Gase.
Adam Gase, yeah. He's got to be up there.
Yeah,
right?
No, there's a crew of them, but I think Mayo would be labeled the worst coach in the history of football, the worst head coach in NFL history. So I think he makes it to the end of the season, almost no matter what, almost regardless. But I keep saying that, and things change and get worse by the week, because I didn't envision this. And Curran's
Hackett last year. He's got to be on that list.
He's a bad coach.
Yeah.
Curran's wrong in one sense, that this isn't worst case scenario.
Not yet. No, it could get worse.
And May could suck. Yeah. If May were sucking right now, if you waited
that's
to put
worse.
May
yeah,
in,
that's worse than this.
And
yeah.
he threw four picks and looked inept, that's even worse because you bungled that even more than we thought you bungled that. So it's there's a little bit of a distractor here that, well, they have developed the quarterback behind the scenes. He looks really good. Even his biggest critics are saying he looks really good and has come a long way in a short period of time. So this isn't worst case scenario, which makes it all that more remarkable that the Sharks smell blood in the water. It feels like everybody now thinks he could get fired, at least on some level, that there's a what's the percent chance you'd put on it right now that he could get fired at the end of the year?
I'd say 33 up from 25. You know, I said, because I said 75% chance that he's going to make it to the end. And that was up from like, that was down from like 99. Now I'd say it's about two thirds. I'm two thirds sure he's going to make it the end of the year.
Entering the season, I thought it was 100% chance he was back. I thought it was 100% chance. I thought Robert Kraft was all in and it was just, that's what it was going to be.
I still think that he will, but not 100%. No.
I'm more like there's a 66% chance he's back. I think it's fading. Because I think this is wearing on him.
Yeah.
I think it's wearing on the organization. And I think they're going to start trying things. I wonder if there'll be play calling changes. Does Ben McAdoo suddenly take a bigger voice? Do we start hearing references from players to what Ben McAdoo is imparting on this team? Because he's the most experienced guy.
Yes.
He's a head coach. He's been around the game. He's the best case scenario.
He's got
to
more
help
experience
Mayo.
Than everybody else combined.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's the guy that
he wasn't great either, but he does have experience.
But
yeah.
if you have that guy on your staff, isn't that why he's on the staff to advise in a sort of bigger picture way?
You'd have to ask them why he's on the staff, but that's what why you'd think you'd bring in a guy like that. Yes.
My guess is they're turning to Ben McAdoo. Mayo should be turning to him. They should all be turning to him and saying, all right, we need some help here. You've been through this. You've been railroaded. You've been fired. You've been a met. Like, how do we steer the hell out of this right now? Because right now it's a disaster.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls. First, here's Jackson with what's trending. And when we come back, we mentioned Drake May. Can Drake May save this? Can Drake May save everyone's job? Can Drake May save this organization? We'll ask that question with you right after Jackson gets you caught up on what's trending.
It's Drake May with us on Monday.
If these guys are gonna save their jobs, if this team is not gonna spiral into chaos, which some may argue it's already there, but again, as many have pointed out, there's 10 games left in the season. So however chaotic it may be right now, there's potential for it to get a lot worse or a lot better.
Yeah, they could have a winning record.
That rests on the shoulder and on the right arm of Drake May. And I'll tell you what else.
I can't believe I just said that.
I know. That's probably not
going to
happen.
It's math, though. They could.
Mathematically, yes, they could. I'm not even talking about a winning record. I'm talking about them winning two or three more games, being competitive in some of these games, Drake May continuing to have good games, and losing because, you know, if you lose because you lose because the other team's better than you, not because you're getting steamrolled 17 straight runs, dog-walked up and down the field by the Jacksonville freaking Jaguars, all right? Like, that's extra bad. I think the fact that happened in Europe, it happened against that team, that awful team, those are all things that are swirling around right now, and I think getting in the Kraft's head about potentially going back on a decision that they made. And listen, the Krafts, they value their decision-making process very highly. I don't know how great it's been lately, if we're being perfectly honest here. These are the same Krafts who let Tom Brady walk out the door and went and stuck with Belichick over him, which ended up being a bad call. Mm. To a much greater extent, the whole Aaron Hernandez thing got completely hoodwinked by how great we thought Aaron Hernandez was and what a good guy he was. I don't know. I feel like lately a decision-making going on up there, they haven't been hitting a lot of grand slams lately. It's been a lot of swings and misses, and it looks like this is another one of those.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a legitimate decision of theirs. I do think the Brady one is their decision. I always said all along, if you let Bill make the decision, you're making a decision.
Yep.
Like, you could have kept him. You could have made a very different decision you own. So those are two very distinct decisions that they've made that look very bad right now. And how you pull out of that, Drake May, I mean, that's a lot of responsibility. Because I also don't, to me, this doesn't feel like something that one win is the be-all, end-all, cure-all. Like that, oh, okay, everything's good now. We're a two-win team. No, there's just too much dysfunction. Are all the guys going to stop going on social media? Are they going to stop saying dumb things to the media? Are they going to stop getting pulled over by cops just because you win one football game? No, I know he.
They might stop with the social media stuff. I don't know if they're ever going to stop getting
for the night they win.
Right, exactly.
Do I expect dumb stuff after the win that night on social media? No. But the following week when they go back to losing, do I think the dumb stuff returns? I absolutely do. And it could also go worse because
it also matters how you lose.
Oh, sure. But you know? It's also cumulative.
Right.
And it also, from what I've seen, the score doesn't seem to be all that relevant to a lot of these guys. You know what these guys all seem to care about?
Their own
numbers.
Their
stats. Yeah. Their role. Their job. Their touches.
Their targets,
sacks.
Yeah,
their
exactly.
Everything. There's a lot of me guys seemingly on this football team. And I don't know how much of that could fit. If anything, some of those guys will probably pout in a victory. And that'll be worse. It'll be a worse look for the head coach. It'll be a worse look for the culture that he's supposedly building there. And another blow to your potential culture? The Jets suck. The Jets are an embarrassing football team themselves. If they come into Gillette Stadium and use your word, mollywop the Patriots, and they have that potential.
Which they're going to, I think, yes.
Okay, how do you think that's going to sit with the owner?
Not great.
And this is all because Trevor Lawrence International Stage, oh, that's bad. Mm. Jets come to town, beat the crap out of us. And we start to check off more of these winnable games. Then Tennessee, what if you lose to Tennessee? Well, that doesn't look good. We're running out of winnable games here. We might not win any more games. The pressure's only going
to
grow.
Sure. If they lose to the Jets 35-33 or something, right, and Drake May has a great game offensively and leads a bunch of touchdown drives and it looks like the offense is functioning, but they lose because their defense is soft or whatever it is. I don't know. I mean, something like that. That's what I mean when I say, can Drake May do this? Can Drake May save the team? Can he save Jerod Mayo? If you look like you have a franchise quarterback and these are the guys who are coaching him and responsible for bringing him along, we said it yesterday. I mean, this is what this season's all about. And I think that more so than that, you'll be able to have fans understand and accept the fact, which I think a lot of us did coming into this season, accept the fact that this isn't going to be a good season. This isn't going to be a season with a lot of wins. The owner said it at the beginning of the year. He said, we're not expecting to win a lot of games this year. This is something everybody was on board with and understood. And I think that if you have that going and you're losing games, but Drake May's playing well, it's the Justin Herbert thing all over again. The Chargers knew they had something right there, and their fans were willing to wait it out. Their fans, like there's a ton of Chargers fans out there, but you know what I mean. Like, this is a much more engaged fan base, but I do think that they will also say, hey, you know, this season was supposed to be all about this one guy. This guy's really coming along well, and not only that, he's becoming a leader, as you just heard there. Like, this is potentially the beginning of the next chapter of Patriots football. And if they don't want every single person involved with this first year along for the entire ride, like, I get that. It's rare that you see that. You didn't see that during Brady. You never see that with anybody. Joe Montana, even. You don't see it. It's very, very rare that you have something like that go on for as long as it did with Brady and Belichick. I'm not expecting that here, but I do think that they'll be looked at in a different light if May continues to progress like this. That's going to outweigh the negatives, I think.
I don't, and I think this has almost nothing to do with what's going on the field. I think that's the scary part and the part where Mayo's wrong yet again. I think if you removed everything that's been said that's dumb by the head coach and everything been said by players that was eye-openingly selfish, mm-hmm. and if you removed all the social media issues and you removed the police blotter issues, remove all of those things and change nothing about the football team, the scores, the plays, the action is the same. I don't think a single person would say Jerod Mayo's on the hot seat, because I think it would be,
okay,
he's a first-year coach
fair.
Of a crappy football team. We expected this. We knew this. It's all the other stuff that has put him on the hot seat, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I'd say on the flip side of that, if, and this is hypothetical, obviously, but if May had played all year and they had won three games already by now, or even if they hadn't, May is progressing and he's looking like a top 10 quarterback in the NFL or whatever it is that he's gotten to. If it's, let's say, a natural progression from where he is right now, he was one of the best QBs in the league in week 7. So
yep.
If that's something that was continuing to happen and you were looking at that, even if all that other off-the-field stuff was going on, people, I think, would be looking more at Drake May. I think that was a mistake not playing him early, not just because it was worse for the team, it was worse for them. You know, it was worse for these coaches who went out there and looked completely over their heads, like they were just inept and had no idea what they were doing. They still kind of look like that, but now they have Drake May to point to and say, hey, at least he's good, at least he's coming along here. If that was something you had from week one until now, the progression, I think, would have made them look better.
I'm not so sure about that. If all the other stuff stayed, I think it might actually expedite their departure, because you don't want to go down the Justin Herbert road with the Chargers, where everybody on the planet thinks your coach is an absolute clueless boob.
Yeah, but it took like 3 or 4 years before they moved on from that coach because they liked Herbert and they liked that offense.
Right. Right. And that was a terrible mistake.
It's a bad idea, sure, but I'm just saying.
I think
like,
this would expedite.
That's how you keep
the guy around. If you think Drake May is borderline C.J. Stroud, he is the next big thing. He is going to be great immediately. He's already great. Like, if he's doing this in weeks 1 and 2, and then we extrapolate forward now, he'd be among the better quarterbacks in the NFL, probably.
Yeah, but also you could argue that, when you keep switching new coaches and new offensive coordinators and everybody from a young quarterback, that can mess up their progression. Just look at Mac Jones.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's an obvious pitfall for them.
Right, and I would argue that if you have this kind of culture, you'll never win a damn thing.
I mean,
this is the worst culture I've ever... I mean, can you think of worse examples in a shorter period of time of just... across the board, all levels of ineptitude, lack of leadership, guys popping off, selfishness, social media, in such a small period of time among a group that shouldn't feel comfortable doing it.
True.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
It's one thing if AB pops off or Davante Adams or whoever. Who the F are these guys that they're so comfortable airing their grievances? Like even Kayshon Booty, who we had all given credit for maturing,
yeah,
right? And now he's telling us, the only reason I got the damn ball the last 2 weeks is because I asked for it. I had to tell him to throw me the deep balls. He's been one of the good things. Who are these guys, and why do they feel so comfortable doing detrimental things verbally and on social media? The answer is the culture, right? Is there any other way to paint that picture?
No.
Without saying the culture is broken? And therefore, if May was even better, I think you'd say, I got to rip the Band-Aid off. I got to get this horrific culture out of the way of my franchise QB, because my franchise QB is ready to win and lead and go in the right direction, and everything else is hindering it right now.
But isn't a franchise QB winning and leading and all of that, doesn't that help fix a culture? Isn't that a step towards fixing
it? Can't fix stupid, I heard before.
Well, maybe not, but I mean, there's a lot of stupid people. It's the NFL. You
know? But this is the dumbest culture I've ever seen.
It's not great, I'll admit.
I mean, am I exaggerating?
That it's the worst culture ever? I don't know about
around
that.
Around the NFL forever, I can't think of... across the board examples in a short 7 weeks in.
It's like Cleveland going 0-17. I mean, there's teams that never won a single game, you know?
But it's not just about winning.
Patricia in Detroit and any other Patriot disciple head coach who goes out, Judge in New York. I mean, there was a lot of examples.
Maybe.
It was usually guys that coached under Bill.
But it's usually glaring examples or of one or two instances. Gerard Mayo's been a mess since day one.
Mm.
His players have been a mess all summer. Right, like, I'm layering this. There's one-offs that are worse. Brandon Marshall punting a football in practice when Josh McDaniels was trying to run a drill.
Right.
Probably worse than anything we've seen, I'm guessing. But we've had everything. And you almost start to forget about some of them. Polk was so long ago. Pop Douglas bitching was so long ago, because we like Pop now, because Pop's good.
Right.
Except Pop wasn't good because he was puking. We don't know why he was puking. What was he doing to get puked? Like, you almost forget about how many things have gone wrong in 7 weeks here.
Mm-hmm. And they lose all these games, and that's the main
thing.
Yes. There's no, like, win that covers up some of this stuff.
And they're getting worse.
Some of it's not the crime of the century, you know? Like, I mean, there's complaining about not getting the ball. Like, a lot of guys do that. But if you keep losing, it makes it much, much worse.
And
it makes the
everybody,
culture seem that worse,
but
too.
When everybody does it, I guess Bourne hasn't. Is that fair? Bourne has not.
Not that, no. But
K.J. Osborne.
He's out there talking, too.
K.J. Osborne, Kayshon Booty, Pop Douglas, Jalen Polk, Javon Baker, and Tyquan Thornton.
What Thornton do?
He did something. He definitely did something.
Okay.
I kind of am forgetting it now, but he definitely did something.
I don't remember him saying anything.
Because he's been a healthy scratch 2 weeks in a row, and there was something on social media. It wasn't a peace sign, but there was something on social media he did. Oh, and I forgot Jalen Reagor. Don't forget, he got cut for his.
Oh, yeah. And he had that fumble in the
race
on the Monday night.
Every wide receiver on this team has bitched or moaned or done something bad off the field. I'm not even going into drops and route running or any of that crap. That's a problem.
Yeah.
A position room where every single person has been detrimental to the football team, I think that's hard to find.
Yeah, yeah, it is. 617-779-7937. Scott's in Providence. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Scott.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I have a theory, and if I'm right, coaches should get another year. If I'm wrong, they should clear house.
Okay.
But if their real plan was to keep Brissett playing for whatever, 12, 13, 14 weeks, suck, then bring in May and give everybody a little excitement for next year, great. Why would you go out and pay $35 million for a receiver that Brissett can't throw to why would you pay $35 million for a left tackle that, you know, can hold a guy up for 3.5 seconds, but he holds the ball for 4? So I get it. Why waste all this money and a whole year of a contract? But if that's not the plan, then they should all be fired. And he ought to walk into the locker room tomorrow and tell them the next guy that spouts off on social media is getting suspended. And not cut, because then you get another team suspended. Just sit home and watch the rest of the season.
Yeah, Scott, sorry, I thought you were done there, and I don't know what that beeping
was. What the hell
was
that?
Yeah, that was just, it's like in prison. It's like, all right, phone call's over. Like, beep.
Ran out of time.
I have no idea. But, yeah, I wonder. I wonder when you're going to start seeing actual changes here. I wonder when you're going to see Jerod Mayo, instead of calling him soft after a game, handle it in-house and say, you know what, you're on the bench today. You can come out, I'll give you a jersey, but you're not playing. You're sitting on the bench, and that's the way it is. And get your bleep together, because you're not good enough to be saying all this stuff.
This seems like, so bad, how will we even know?
That's true. I mean, it's like, well, you'll know who gets snaps and who doesn't. I think there's something to be said there,
but,
yeah.
You know, I've been surprised that Polk continued to get snaps. Now he's in the protocol, so I don't, you know, if he misses this week, is it just because he's in the concussion protocol, or are you sending a message? There's these weird vagaries, too.
Yeah, when did he get concussed, by the way? It was on that one play in the
second
quarter.
Well, you hated the play, yeah.
I thought it was a bad ball.
You thought it was targeting.
I thought it was a bad ball. I thought it was a hospital ball, and now here you go. But, by the way, he played the rest of the game, and they went to him on an important second two-point conversion, and he fell down. So, I mean, you know, like maybe get the concussion spotter out there a little sooner, okay, so that you have guys on the field who aren't seeing double or triple and who can catch the ball, by the way, when you need them for a two-point conversion. Mike is in Stoughton. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, I just wanted to share a thought with you guys. Maybe the guys are acting that way because they see that Mayo doesn't have the control that and the power that Belichick had. I mean, a lot of the time we see Mayo walking back a lot of the things that he said. So maybe the guys are seeing that and they're like, oh, screw this guy. He doesn't even have the power to keep his word on what he says on social media. So I think maybe that's why the guys are acting like that, because under Belichick, who had the full power to either sit the guys or cut the guys, you know, I don't think they would act that way. So I think that's what's going on.
You might be right, Mike. I mean, you might be right about that. I think that Jerod Mayo certainly was not given the same free reign of power that Bill Belichick had. It's obvious that he's not. I don't know what he's even doing. Someone asked him today. They were like, on the sideline, it doesn't seem like you're engaging very much with anybody. Like, what are you actually doing out there? And he's like, no, I engage with people. I engage with the players. Like,
I
talk to them sometimes.
Sometimes
I headset.
Talk.
People say things to me. I say things to them. It's very, it's like, okay.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I have many, many roles with this team.
When your head coach has to respond to what is it that you do during the game, and his answer is not a great answer, like, that's bad.
It is bad.
It's a bad situation.
And then he finishes every other answer with, but it comes back to me. I'm the head coach.
I do engage with the players.
Feels like he's trying to sell too many people on it comes down to me and I'm the head coach. And I don't know if that's in a response to Belichick and trying to answer sort of those criticisms, or if it's as the caller indicates. Is he trying to convince people that he is the head coach?
Right.
That he actually does have power. I said it to you yesterday. I still believe in the world of football, and maybe in this world altogether, fear is a good thing. And you said you can't get your son to fear you at all.
No. He laughs right in my face.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what these players are doing to Mayo. They're treating Mayo like your son treats you.
Absolutely.
Wait till he, like, pees on you on purpose.
That hasn't happened yet, but it's probably next. Anyway, with that in mind, keep it right here, because when we come back, we'll get the lowdown on all this and other things going on in the NFL from our good friend, ESPN insider Adam Schefter. That's next. WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, and joining us right now on the hotline is ESPN's Adam Schefter. He's brought to you by Liberty Bank and by Coleman. It's electric. Mr. Schefter, do we have you? Are you there?
Christian, Andy, you got me. How are we doing?
We got you, and thank God, not a moment too soon, because as you know, lots of rumors swirling around here in New England. Let's go ahead and start with the main one coming from all different angles here. We've been hearing this, whispers about it, and some even reports that Jerod Mayo may be more on the hot seat than we thought he was. Are you hearing anything about this? Does it seem as though maybe ownership is starting to sour a little bit on Jerod Mayo?
Well, I saw on social media, for whatever that's worth in this day and age, yesterday I read that Matthew Stafford was being traded to the Vikings, which was news to me. And today I heard that sources have informed people that within the next 48 hours, Jerod Mayo will be removed as a head coach. Now, look, they haven't played well. They're not winning. I don't know how the Kraft family feels about Jerod Mayo now, but I can tell you that Jerod Mayo is not being released in the next 48 hours. That's not happening. He's coaching Sunday's game. And again, I think that in this league, you have to win. You have to perform. Otherwise, there's going to be scrutiny. I don't know what his long-term prognosis is, but to these rumors floating around on the internet that he's going to be fired here this week, that's not happening.
Do you think there could be other changes? I know around here there's been speculation. I actually wonder about what Ben McAdoo does because he's sort of the assistant head coach, has the most experience on the staff. Changes to play caller, we often see that with teams that are scuffling, offensive or defensive play caller. Any word or rumblings of changes of that nature?
There could be. I have not heard that. I'd have to check specifically. And I had not heard that anything will change. But look, you know, today – Kevin Stefanski said that he's going to turn over the play calling to his offensive coordinator right now, Ken Dorsey, and he's going to call the plays. So I think when teams don't win, inevitably they start looking for other ways that they could improve their effort and come up with solutions to try to find a way to win. I don't know where New England's at on that, but I do know Jerod Mayo's not getting fired this week.
You mentioned the losses, which have obviously piled up, and some of them have been ugly in nature. Is that a bigger issue right now, or is it everything else that's going on in terms of players popping off in the media, social media, Jerod kind of calling his team soft and then backtracking after Belichick took some pot shots at him? It almost seems like the stuff unrelated to the game day action is as big an issue as the losing is.
Well, that's always the case for a head coach. That's what being a head coach in the National Football League is about. There is a big acclimation period for a lot of coaches who step in and don't realize all the responsibilities that come along with it. And I know it sounds simple, and you're like, how could that be? But all of a sudden, they're getting knocks on their door around the clock from people with various issues that they didn't have to deal with always as a coordinator. And I think that there's a learning curve involved with a lot of these jobs. Now, again, you know, still it is a bottom line business. It's wins and losses. You've got to come through there. But there is a learning curve to all that comes along with this job. And I would guess that the Patriots, Jerod Mayo, they're realizing, wow, this is larger than we realized. Like, you know, when you have a guy in place there, you don't think about it always. It just kind of runs itself. But it's not that simple, and I think they're starting to realize that this year a little bit.
Yeah, and listen, I agree with you. I don't think anything's happening this week, and I wasn't even referring to that. I saw that same thing going around. I wasn't even referring to that. But there has been some smoke to the fire of the idea that the Crafts, who made such a big show at, as you know, I mean, they made a big show of their commitment to Jerod Mayo. Robert Kraft has said glowing things about him over and over again. The idea that he could be a one and done after all of that seemed impossible at the beginning of the season, and now it seems like that's maybe in play.
Well, again, what I would say is when you say it seemed to be impossible at the beginning of the season, name a coach who ever has been hired at any point in the National Football League where he's been hired where people are talking about he could be one. It's never come up. Nobody expects that with a coach. And then the season begins and the real games get underway and you begin to assess. Now, again, I want to be very clear. I have no idea whether the Crafts would even ponder that. That, to me, would go against their nature. It would surprise me because I think that they felt so strongly about Jerod, and they felt that way for a long period of time. But, you know, you'd have to see a lot to move on from a guy after 1 year. So, while I never rule out anything in this league, that still would surprise me some. But the fact that these questions are coming up now, seven games into his coaching, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. Because if those questions are coming up now after seven games, those questions are only going to increase. And it's part of a function of the day and age we live in where there is so much pressure, scrutiny, criticism on everybody in the game. But, you know, it's like when fans start questioning whether a quarterback should be holding his job, it's only a matter of time before he loses that job, it seems like. And so now you're starting to get these questions starting earlier than you would think, but this is the NFL, and that's how it goes sometimes.
Adam, it's starting to seem like this is going to be the trade deadline of all about wide receivers. We had Devontae Adams. We had DeAndre Hopkins. Is Cooper Kupp going to get traded? And am I an idiot to think the Patriots should make a phone call?
Listen, again, anything's possible. And I think if the Rams got an offer that they found suitable, I think they'd be open to listening to it. But they're not trading him just to trade him. Like, they're not just looking to throw him out the door. Like, you know, the Titans got back a conditional 5 that goes to a 4 for Hopkins. That's not getting it done for Kupp. And the problem with Kupp is he's older, he's pricier. What team's going to do that? Give me a team that you think would be a good fit for Cooper Kupp, because people brought up the Chiefs when the Chiefs never were going to be able to afford his contract. They had $5 million of cap space before the Hopkins move. They couldn't fit Kupp in. The Rams, I don't believe, are paying any money down on his contract. They like the guy too much. So give me a place that you think would make sense for Cooper Kupp to be traded to.
Buffalo, another weapon for Josh Allen. They already got Amari Cooper. Why not load up and go for a Super Bowl?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. They traded for Cooper, and they did so in part because the Browns had already paid down his contract, and he's counting it was like $800,000 because they didn't have a lot of cap space, so they can't afford Cooper Kupp. Give me the next team.
You're really putting me on. I'm assuming they're not going to trade him in division to the 49ers, who've had a boatload of injuries at wide receiver and illnesses.
Contract. Next team.
Let's see. How about the Jets? Keep loading up the Jets.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, great. I mean, let's trade for another receiver. Let's make more headlines while we keep losing games. That's brilliant. You know, here's the thing. It's fun. It's great fodder for your show. It's great speculation to have all these fantasy football conversations leading up to the trade deadline. It's just not practical. It's just not. Now, to me, the only way I see Cooper Kupp getting traded would be if there's a contending team, a team that's winning, that suffers a major wide receiver injury. Now, you might say Tampa right now, which they did.
Yep.
But Tampa likes its young guys. It's going to have a different attack. Can't really afford Cooper. Not happening there. So I remember when Carson Palmer was sitting out that one year, and there was not a home for him. And then the Sunday before the trade deadline, Jason Campbell goes out, and I think it was his knee, tears up his knee, season ends, they're winning, and they pull a deal at the last moment for Carson Palmer. To me, that's what you're looking at with Cooper Kupp. You're going to need somebody that just loses a receiver, that's desperate, that's going to be willing to pay the price, because the Rams aren't looking to trade Cooper Kupp, and they're not just giving away Cooper Kupp. So that's how it's going to go.
All right.
I don't see it getting short of an injury. Yep.
Okay, just before we let you go here, the Chiefs obviously making this move to bring in Hopkins. That's a team that's undefeated despite Patrick Mahomes not having a great season here so far. Do you think that this is a triumph of Andy Reid or the defense, or what exactly do you who do you give it to when you give it to the Chiefs for the amazing start that they're off to here?
Well, I think you look at the GM, Brett Veach, his assistant was from New England, Mike Bongazzi, Andy Reid. They're all a part of this, right? Like, they continue to make moves, and they've lost three receivers this year. They lost Hollywood Brown in the preseason. They lost Rashee Rice in the regular season. They lost Juju Smith-Schuster last week. They need receivers. Here's DeAndre Hopkins available essentially for a conditional fifth. Why would you not do that when the Titans are paying down some of that salary? So, like, it's a low-risk move for an unbeaten team. It just makes sense. And that's what you need at the trade deadline, a move that makes sense. If it doesn't, then it's not getting done. And there's a lot of moves right now that don't make sense, but I'm sure there'll still be some other trades that get done before the deadline.
All right, and we'll be looking for you for all that inside info. Adam Schefter, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Guys, have a great week. Thanks for having me today.
All right,
thanks,
you Adam. Too. That's Adam Schefter, ESPN Insider, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. And if you thought that was a good guest hit, wait until you hear what's coming up next. It's the guest corner here from 3:45 to 4 o'clock as Brian Scalabrine, part of NBC Sports Boston's Celtics broadcast alongside Drew Carter, will make his 2024-2025 debut here on the Afternoon Show. That's coming up next.